And ho, old friend.
The important points here are the wind-up of the hips and body, the extension of the left arm, and the cock of the wrist, indicated by the angle between the left arm and the shaft of the club.
Oh, my goodness. In your life have you seen anything like that?
This crowd has gone deadly silent. Cinderella story, out of nowhere, a former greenskeeper now about to become the Masters champion.
McConnell Buick GMC presents Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show.
Hey, welcome in to Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. I am Randy Bergen, and we are glad to have you on board with us as we are broadcasting from our Schrixon, Cleveland studios right here along the Gulf Coast in South Alabama. We have a threesome today. All right, we're looking for a fourth, but we do have a threesome. And first on the tee box, our good friend, PGA teaching professional and director of golf at Quail Creek Golf Club in Fairhope, Alabama, sweet swinging Bobby Hall. Bobby, how you doing, my man?
Hey, great to be here. Great to be on the show. Good threesome we have today. But it's good to be here. Thank you for having me. It's still hot as heck outside and just praying for a little rain. Hope we get some rain soon.
Well, and that's one of the questions I was going to have for you. It has been hot, hot, hot. Are you still doing lessons with it being this hot?
Well, I'm trying to give them early in the morning and then late in the afternoon, trying to do the best I can to beat the heat. We've certainly had heat wave warnings out by just about everybody in the South. All the news stations are telling everybody stay hydrated, and we all need to do that. But trying to stay out of the middle of the day if we can, get those lessons in early in the morning, late in the afternoon.
Well, I know you got a great tip coming up for us in just a few moments. But next on the tee box, War Eagle TV's Doug Holton. Doug, now you were in Auburn last week. As golf winds down, football cranks up, and seems to be a little excitement there on the plains.
That's right, Randy. A lot of excitement in Auburn. The quarterback race is on, and lots of excitement around the plains, and people expecting a better football season, a more competitive football season this time around. But great to be on the global warming session here of the Southern Fairways Golf Show.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the reason we're looking for a fourth, and Bobby, you did mention it, Matt Brandt, the proprietor, or one of the proprietors of Boudreaux's Cajun Grill in beautiful Daphne, Alabama, he is working hard. He's working hard, so why don't you go by and eat some of the best Cajun food along the Gulf Coast right there at Boudreaux's Cajun Grill. Be sure and tell him that we sent you. We are glad that you are here with us on Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show, presented by McConnell Automotive, the number one GMC dealer in the state of Alabama. Be sure and visit them in Mobile, located east of I-65 on Dolphin Street, or you can check them out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. All right, as I mentioned, we talk golf first right here on the Golf Broadcast Network, and boy, have we got a lot to get into today. Of course, the first of three playoff tournaments underway in Memphis, Tennessee. It's the FedEx St. Jude Championship, and I'll tell you, this is a course, as Doug, you and I were talking about, Southwinds is just a beautiful course. It's been a little wet out there for them.
It has been a little wet, Randy, and I think as we were talking before, Fuzzy Zeller and Hubert Green kind of got together on this design when it was open in Memphis and Germantown, and a big rain Wednesday night, I think, before the tournament started, and just listening to the players talk about that, it was wet on Thursday. It's going to dry out a little bit as the week goes on, but Jordan Spieth said after his good round in round number one, a 63, that he didn't think that would affect things too much because they're playing on that zoysia grass and the ball tends to sit up there. So he didn't think the rain or the wetness would affect them too much. And the thing they have to watch for, and Bobby will comment, I'm sure, on this, is the flyers they get when the ball sits up on that zoysia grass.
Yeah, if it's sitting up high, sometimes it'll come off high on the club face, which can make it come up and also be a weak shot. And with it being wet, there's a lot of diggers out there. And by diggers, I mean they take a little bit of a heavy divot. Watching some of the practice round shots they were showing on the Golf Channel, there's a lot of divots coming out of the ground. It'll be a little muddy for them. And, yes, it does affect the ball flight. Sometimes if it's sitting too high, like I said, it'll ride up high on the club face, which will make the shot come up short. And then sometimes it'll come up as a flyer that hit a little low on that second, third groove, a little low. It'll come out really hot, jump a green, and hit it just a little too far. And, yeah, it can be some difficult conditions when it's like that. Zoysia, though, is a great product to have under your feet. It's a great, like, as you said, the ball sits up very well on Zoysia. So if you ever get the chance to play those, predominantly Zoysia will be up north, a little cooler. It's a little bit wetter. Of course, it's hot as heck in Memphis, but you don't see many Zoysia fairways down south like you do kind of in the middle of the continent and up north. But it's going to be interesting to watch, and I'd look for Lucas Glover to have a great event coming off the win last week. And you're going to see McIlroy and those guys jump to the top of the leaderboard because this is playoff week and they're going to be knuckling down.
And you mentioned Lucas Glover gets the win last week. You got to say congratulations to the 43-year-old. Wins the Wyndham Championship, does it at 20 under. And I'll tell you, let me just play this little clip for you because we had get to hear him after he gets that win. I got to tell you, was a little emotional there.
Especially your daughter right here, Lucas. I know you said the perspective for you begins and ends with family. Why is this one so emotional for all of you?
Say hey to Mom.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Mommy.
I don't get to see these guys as much as I've wanted to because I hadn't been playing that great. So maybe I can see more practices and more games and be home.
There you go. I mean, you could tell that if you watch that, there were a couple of tears falling right there. And this is a guy that's played real hard, who's been working hard, has been working on that mental standpoint, Bobby. And that's, as we've talked about before, you know, contrary to Bernhard Lange, he says mentally, but you got to be a little mental. You got to be mentally strong, and Lucas certainly is.
Well, you know, he won that U.S. Open several years ago and just played phenomenal and just was striping the ball so well. And like many of these players we talked about last week on the show, they hit these highs and they hit these lows. And when you win a U.S. Open, things become a little easier for you, or you expect more out of yourself. He's had a long run without a win. He went through some putting woes. I think just things in your brain just start adding up that it doesn't get that easy. It gets harder. So he did get emotional. And when he won the U.S. Open, he probably didn't have children, or the children were just babies at the time. And now they've grown older. Responsibilities take on, making sure your family's in a good, safe place and that you're making money and they're secure. And then to have his family with him, I'm sure it was emotional for them to see Dad win another event. And it's been a long dry spell for him, so I'd be emotional too.
No doubt.
I think it's great, Paul, and he's such a good person, and just hope continued success for Lucas Glover.
No doubt at all. And Doug, of course, we talked about Brian Harmon coming off of that big win for him, getting that major, and here's a cat that's going to be working hard to win as well.
Yeah, Randy, the number six player in the FedEx standings coming into this week. He talked about his game a little bit earlier this week, and he hasn't really played since his victory in the Open, the British Open, and he said he's going to have to knock some rust off in the first couple of days and see how he does. But Brian was asked about his goals coming into the season with his victory at the Open. What was he shooting for? Was he shooting for the top 70 or the top 50? Or what was he looking for coming into the season? An interesting response this week.
It's funny what we do as players. It's like when the cut was at 70, you know, there was always 70 guys. You know, and then when the cut went to 65, it's always 65. So you're constantly battling those like fringe accomplishments, I kind of call them. Like, so for the longest time, like, oh, I gotta get inside the top 50 because it changes my whole schedule next year. And then like you get into the top 50 and it's like, well, I gotta get to the tour championship so I can, you know, have a 2-year exemption, or I can do this or do this. And I keep trying to go back to the same thing of like, well, what I'm really trying to do is play the best possible golf that I can. And when I do that, I'm very successful. And when I don't do that is when I end up struggling for a top 70 or struggling for a top 50 or struggling for a top 100 or whatever it is.
So the thoughts of Brian Harmon there, and maybe he'll be a factor this weekend in Memphis, but he certainly has had a good time, Randy and Bobby, with that player at Jug since the Open Championship. And he has taken in quite a few brews from the Jug, I think.
you have to ask the question, does it get washed?
I think he said after the Open that it was quite dirty. So.
Oh, my goodness.
I'd steal from it. Given the chance, I'd still drink from it.
I bet you would, Bobby. I bet you would. I'll tell you what, we're going to have a fast hour here. We're going to hear from John Rahm coming up in the next segment, talking about improvements he'd like to see on the PGA Tour. I think you'll find those. If you don't know, you'll find them pretty interesting. Also, we'll hear from Scotty Scheffler and more as Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show continues right here on the Golf Broadcast Network. All right, welcome back to Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show right here on the Golf Broadcast Network. Glad that you are with us this morning. I am Randy Bergen along with Bobby Hall and Doug Holton. And guys, a lot to get into today, but I do want to remind you that the GCGA Tour will be back in action for our seventh event of the season. It's going to be held at Magnolia Grove in Mobile on Sunday, August the 20th. Always a great track in beautiful, beautiful shape. If you'd like to join us, no matter what your skill level is, go to GCGATour.com. You don't have to be a member to play. You might want to be a member because there's a lot of perks, but you don't have to be a member to play. So go on, check it out at GCGATour.com. Today's show presented by McConnell Automotive and brought to you in part by Boudreaux's Cajun Grill, Craft Farms and Peninsula Golf Clubs in Gulf Shores, Ben Murphy Roofing, and by Lisa Johnson with World Impact Real Estate. Obviously, our title sponsor, McConnell Automotive and Strixon. And Bobby, let's go ahead and do it. Let's get that Strixon Cleveland golf tip of the week.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. And I'd like to start to help out our seniors. We have a lot of senior players here at Quail Creek. We're in a retirement area being here in Fairhope. And so give a few a driving tip for seniors out there. And one thing that you can do to improve your distance with the driver is to generate more turn or rotation in your swing. And sometimes that can be difficult to do. We need to stretch and be as limber as we can. However, one tip that I'll give you today is take your right foot, if you're right-handed, and flare it out to the right. Drop it just slightly back from your target line. And what that enables you to do is make a better hip turn in your backswing, get your back to turn to the target. That was a great thing Tom Watson always said, was I always had a key to turn my back to the target. So flaring out your right foot can allow you to create more rotation in your hips and your back to the target, which can give you a bigger width of arc, which will allow you to generate a little more club head speed. So flare out your back foot. Second part of this tip is we want to talk about the sway line. In other words, draw a line from your ankle up to your right hip. If you can imagine just a straight stick, a golf shaft running up your right ankle to your right hip, do not sway or move your hip to the right in your swing as you rotate. When you flare your right foot out, you want to take your right hip pocket and move it toward the target. You want to create space between that line on your ankle to your hip and create space, not to the right, but actually move to the left. You'll feel pressure on your left heel. And that helps you. You're going to move to the left anyway, sort of swaying way to the right and then back to the left is hard to do. But get a second set of eyes, as I always say. Get with your local teaching professional that you use. See a PGA professional if you can. He'll help you with that. Flare that right foot for more rotation, and don't sway on your takeaway. And you'll be much improved, strike it better, and hopefully get a little more distance in your drive.
There you go. That is a great tip from Sweet Swing and Bobby Hall. That is our Strixon Cleveland golf tip of the week, and a very good one. Bobby, you know, before I would be remiss if I didn't mention before we go any further, at Quail Creek, we lost one of the good guys, Dennis Tidwell, passed away last Saturday, and it was just really, really sad. Bobby, I'll tell you, a lot of friends, a great guy, and he'll certainly be missed.
Dennis Tidwell had Dennis Tidwell Air Conditioning in Fairhope and in Baldwin County. Just a great friend of Quail Creek, very nice man, good Christian man, and he's dearly, dearly going to be missed. But thank you for bringing that up. We'll remember with fond memories Dennis Tidwell.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Rest in peace. All right, let's get back into a little bit of golf here. Don't want to forget, we got to talk about JT in just a few moments. If you didn't get to see it, makes that chip on the 18th last week, almost goes in. That would have put him in. That would have put him in the first round of the playoffs, no doubt, and possibly would have put him on the Ryder Cup team. Don't know now. We got to see. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a few moments. But a lot of things going on with Scottie Scheffler, Doug.
No question about it, Randy. Scottie is one of the top players coming into Memphis this week. And as we were talking before, he has a new putter in the bag. And he's learned a lot from his experience, I think, in the first year or two in the FedEx playoffs. He talked about that earlier this week, about his strategy coming into week one and week two. And maybe you don't have to win the golf tournament in order to get in the hunt for the FedEx Championship in the long run.
I'm treating this year more as a trying to build up for Eastlake. I feel like if I go out and have a great week at Eastlake, with the position I'm in now in the FedEx Cup, I can't fall too far away from the lead. And so I'm kind of trying to build my way into that tournament and make sure I'm rested, just because, I mean, it's the playoffs, the fields are really good, and you don't want to be tired going into the weekend at Eastlake, just because those are going to be the two most important, or the four most important days of the playoffs. I mean, I could win both these tournaments and I still only have a two-shot lead at Eastlake. And so it's a different format, and just trying to be ready for that tournament.
So the thoughts there of Scottie Scheffler and Jon Rahm mentioned kind of the same thing, that you don't want to maybe wear it out in week one at Memphis, and you can still put yourself in a great position going for the title.
You know, he also talked a little bit about going into this week, how he was going to change his putter. And Bobby, that's something maybe you can talk about, but let's hear from Scottie and why he wanted to change his putter.
Yeah, so I've worked with TaylorMade now. I signed with them at the beginning of last year, I think, and it's been a great relationship. And obviously, I haven't been using it since I'm in putter, and they got a lot of cool technology. And I've tested out a lot of different stuff this year, just in terms of, you know, they ask, what do you like in a putter? And I was like, well, this is kind of the feels that I like, and this is what I like to see visually. And this was something that they came up with. And I tried it out yesterday, and it was really good. And I mean, it kind of has the weight feel of my blade putter that I love, but it's got a little bit more on the top that I can see my line visually. And so, you know, I'm going to test it out this week.
Do you think it's a good time to change putters, Bobby? First round of the playoffs?
Well, changing putters can be positive for your game, as I guess, as long as you're smart about it. You know, depending on lining up various putting models that he's having built and working with TaylorMade. Like he said, he didn't like the spider the way it looked, and he didn't like the feel of it because the weight was in the back of the putter. He likes the weight to be more forward in the putter. So working with TaylorMade, they're trying to get that weight in a special putter for him. And working with your offset, it looked on the internet, looked like he's using a plumber's neck, which is just a form of having the shaft a little more forward in front of the club face. And he's trying to experiment. So is Rory McIlroy. So sometimes it can be positive, but I think as long as you're smart about it, he's using the ingenuity and the engineering TaylorMade to come up with that feel. And just each person's different. And you know, me personally, I'm in the putter of the month club.
Putter of the week.
Trying to find something. All of us are. They're looking for that edge. As long as they're smart about it, I think it's good.
Well, I'll tell you mentioned Rory. He, too, is trying to change his putting up a little bit. Here's what he had to say, changing his putter.
I just wanted something. I just wanted, like, a new look or a new – just to sort of freshen things up a little bit and mix it up. I went back and forth a little this year on putters. I used a different putter at the start of the season going into the Masters. And, I've just been going back and forth. So, I'm going to put another one in play this week and see how it goes. But, I always have my sort of trusty backup there if I need it.
Another thing, if I can just interject, is we look at the 1985 PGA Championship, which was held at Shoal Creek. Lee Trevino wins and goes out just that week and picks up a Ping putter that he'd never putted with. And remember, when he won the tournament, he's just kissing the putter all over. Jim Furyk bought a $39 putter out of some, you know, junk shop somewhere, and he won a tournament with it. So, like I said, if you're smart about it, they're looking for that positive edge, that magic wand. So guys are going to do that, and they're going to try to help their game. We have ups and downs, and you're just going to see changes like that. They're going to change irons every now and then. They're going to change drivers. They're going to change wedges, depending on the adaptability of their game and the golf course they're playing. So changes are always pretty good. These guys are smart. They're doing the right thing for themselves.
Well, you know, and Rory even talked about not so much that he needs to go get fit and all that kind of stuff for his putter. He's going to the garage. He's going to see what he's got in there. He's going to pull it out and see if it works. And, Doug, sometimes that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, well, Rory's done pretty well over the years. And Scottie Scheffler, talking about his putting, that's been one of the things that the fans and the media and maybe some of the players have been talking about this year that hasn't been quite as good as in years past, and maybe one of the reasons why he hasn't won as much as he has in years past. But it's interesting. I was going to say, you know, you have guys that change from week to week or month to month on the PGA Tour. Everybody's always searching for something. And then you have guys that are great putters, like I think of Crenshaw, you know, using his blade for almost his entire career, and Jack Nicklaus using his George Lowe didn't hardly change until he got older. So, you know, it's interesting to look at some players change and some players don't.
Yeah, that when Nicklaus last won the Masters, remember that huge McGregor response putter that he used? Mm-hmm. It was bigger than most drivers are today. Of course, that's been outlawed now. The configuration has been restricted on having that putter back in the game, but certainly helped him. So you're going to see it. We just have to get used to it. And you would ask, well, these guys are at the top of the world. They're playing great. He's winning tournaments. Scheffler's 1-2 in the world all the time now playing. And why would he change? They want to keep that edge.
Well, there's no doubt. And, you know, you've seen the commercial. These guys are good. They really are good. And a lot of times, and Bobby, you always mention this, it's right there in that short game. Every professional tells you it's the short game. You got to be able to get that approach shot on the green, and you got to be able to make those putts.
That's exactly right. So watch that. Folks listening out there, tip, when you're watching, watch those short game players and how they proceed and how they set their wrists and what wedges that they're using is very important. Use a top line product if you can. You know, there's great products out there. Get your Cleveland wedge out. We're promoting Cleveland and Trixon, but they make a very great product, and it will help your short game to have that valuable tool in your bag. So get a good product when you're selecting your clubs.
Hey, real quick, before we take our second time out, got to say congratulations to Celine Boutier. Of course, she gets the win last week. They are now playing the last major of the season for the ladies. Of course, the guys have already completed their majors for the season. It's the AIG Women's Open in London, England. We're going to have the leaderboards for you coming up here in just a little bit. But, man, Celine Boutier, can't she get three in a row? That would be pretty amazing. Has a lady done that before? I don't know. I'll have to check on that. We'll have to get our stat guy to check on that.
Carol May, Kathy Whitworth, and those ladies back in the day, they probably could have done it.
Yep.
Allie Ewing played at Mississippi State University. She finished tied for ninth in that tournament and picked up 41,000. Good for her.
No doubt. All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, more Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show right after this. Welcome back to Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show right here on the Golf Broadcast Network. Glad to have you on board with us. I'll tell you, we are moving through this hour extremely fast. We got to talk some John Rahm coming up in just a few moments and a lot to get into there. But before we go any further, we want to welcome in one of our great sponsors of the show, Ben Murphy with Ben Murphy Roofing. Ben, how you doing, pal?
Good, Randy. How are you doing?
Man, I am doing fabulous. I'm burning up. It's been hot, but other than that, doing pretty good. Got to get into a couple of things with you real quick. Of course, the playoffs are going on right now in golf, and the question I would have for you, as big a golfer as you are, do you like the three-tournament top 70 way they're doing it now, or do you like the old way of four tournaments and top 125?
Well, I think I like the four tournaments better just because we get more players in it and a little bit more golf to watch than the three. I'm not sure with this new format, with, you know, having the top 10 or whatever being 10 under starting off on that last tournament. But I'm not real sure. I guess only time will tell how it plays out. But right now I think I like the four tournament 125 player deal.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the consensus for most folks right now, because it does give you an extra week of golf. And these guys play hard through the whole season to get to that top 125, and it's not easy, I can promise you at all. Who are you picking to win at all?
Well, you know, I can't ever sleep on John Rahm, but I've got a couple guys that I think, I would like to see it. You know, I think Max Homa, I think it's his time.
Like that.
I'd really like to see him come through. I think he's playing well.
And I'll tell you, he is playing well, and I like Max Homa. That's my friend. I'm going to write that one down. Ben goes with Max Homa to win the FedEx Cup. Good pick. All right, hey, let me ask, got a couple more questions for you here. Well, I know we got you just for a short time. You were in Boston not too long ago. Got to go to Fenway Park. Tell us about your trip to Boston.
Yeah, so, you know, Fenway was one of those bucket list trips, and me and my family, we drove up the eastern coast this summer, and so I talked to everybody and going to Fenway Park, and it was absolutely
awesome. Nice.
I would go back in a heartbeat. The nostalgia, the history, and the way they've taken care of that park is absolutely amazing.
Now, who did Boston play that day?
I think they played the Rangers,
okay,
if I'm not mistaken.
Good ball game?
We actually saw the Yankees play the day before. But
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we got a local guy. One of our good friends, Josh Donaldson, plays with the Yankees.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was playing the day you saw him, but yeah. Well, that's good. I've got a buddy that is from Boston, and that's all he talks about is Fenway Park for sure. We're visiting with Ben Murphy, Ben Murphy Roofing. Got you for a few more minutes here, Ben. Something now, you've got a couple of businesses, obviously the one we just spoke about, the roofing side of things, but you just took on a new venture, and you got to tell me and tell our listeners about your new beer truck. Man, this is awesome.
Yeah, so we got a tap truck. I've got a good friend of mine in the Augusta area. When we went over the Masters, he actually builds them, and I thought it was kind of a neat idea, so I had him build me a tap truck. So it's called Gulf Coast Tap Truck. And we're available for rent at weddings, parties, tailgates, any kind of events you can possibly think of.
Now, if somebody wants to lease you out, what do they need to do?
Yeah, they can look us up on Facebook. It's called Gulf Coast Tap Truck, and you can contact us there. The phone number, all the contact information's there. There's pictures of the truck. It's actually a 1954 Chevrolet 3600 flatbed.
So nice.
It's pretty neat looking.
Nice. Very, very good. Hey, visiting with Ben Murphy, Ben Murphy Roofing. Okay, Ben, before I let you get out of here, we're right in the middle of hurricane season, all right? And most folks don't know what to do with roofing or anything, but something that should be done, I would think, would be inspections. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, now, you know, it's better to have it done earlier in the year, but we're still not to the heavy end of hurricane season. I saw where Noah up their predictions this year. So, you know, if you need somebody to come take a look at it, please holler at us at 251-943-7144.
And do you also have a Facebook page on Ben Murphy Roofing, correct?
Yeah, you can look up either Ben Murphy Roofing or Ben Murphy Company.
Well, there you go. I got to tell you, do it. One of the very best right here, Ben Murphy Roofing. You go to Ben Murphy Roofing on Facebook. Also, check out the beer truck, the tap truck. So I know we're going to utilize it up at the fort at some point, so be ready for that, Ben.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Hey, man, thanks for taking time to be with us. Look forward to having you back. We got to get out and play some golf when it cools off, all right?
Yes, sir. Sounds good, Randy.
All right, there you go. Ben Murphy with Ben Murphy Roofing. Be sure and check them out. So I got to tell you, Doug, I think Ben's got a pretty good pick right there. Max Homa, right now he's a T8 at 7-under in this tournament. And remember, it's you're just trying to qualify to that top 50 and then top 30 to get to East Lake. And I think Max Homa certainly is on his way. He mentioned John Rahm as well. John, did you see his final shot of the second round yesterday?
Yeah, Randy, just watching the replay of the final hole here from yesterday, quite a group there with John Rahm. And that 18th hole just doesn't seem to fit his eye. He's hit it in the drink a couple of times and made a fabulous par coming in yesterday. I think he finished at even par. Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy also playing pretty well and still in the hunt in this tournament in Memphis. And Randy, I got to tell you, my couple of takeaways from the tournament watching it on Friday are, number one, why are we playing in Memphis in August, which I think I know the answer to, and number two, a little bit of live golf thrown in there. Why are these guys playing in long pants in 95-degree weather?
Hey, Doug, that's a great question. I'll tell you, I don't know if you, I know you watched all of it yesterday, but dadgummit, Lucas Glover was just, his pants were soaking wet.
Absolutely drenched when he was doing his interview.
I'll tell you what, though, he's playing some good golf. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And we'll come back to him in just a few moments. But one of the things, I want to go back to John Rahm for just a second. And John, you know, he had some thoughts on some changes or additions on the PGA, right?
Absolutely, Randy. A lot of talk about the PGA Tour this week with a players meeting and Jay Monahan, Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay skipping the meeting. A lot of talk about Phil Mickelson, but you're right. John Rahm, one of the top players on the PGA Tour, was asked what he would change if he could change things on the PGA Tour. And you might be surprised at his answer. A lot of people would say more prize money. Let's do more of the things that the LIV Tour is doing. But here's a little bit of what John Rahm had to say about what he would improve.
This TPC events, because the PGA Tour is more involved, our food situation is unbelievable, right? They have nutritionists that they've hired to work with, and the options and the sources are incredible. So I would like to see that more across the board in every single tour event. I would like to see physio areas to be a little bit better. Even though the gym trailer is great, it's still a trailer. So when you have three people in it, you're already a little crowded. So seeing a better workout facilities as well. And those are kind of things that I hope come out throughout this whole thing, right? I've mentioned many times we're making the tour better for the players, and I mean that, right? The very basic things they can do in tournaments to make them all as good as they can be is where I would like to see some changes. Everything else can come out afterwards, but I'm not so worried about purses and bonuses and all those things. I think this, giving us the best amenities possible is one of those things that should be a concern. That's at least a lot of things that I keep going to with them. So it's not usually what's in people's minds.
There you go, John Rahm, talking in Memphis just the other day, and a little surprising there, Randy, huh?
Look here. Are you kidding me? He's not interested in he's interested in food and all that more than he is bonuses and bigger purses, really?
He's a big guy, Randy. He likes to work out. He wants a nice place to work out. He wants that good food like they have at the Players Championship. You can't blame him for that, right?
Yeah. Hey, and he wants a bathroom on every hole as well, all right, or a porty potty on every hole. So maybe he'll get that. Maybe he'll get that.
Yeah.
But no, it's really interesting. His thoughts there are very interesting, and the way he's playing has been interesting. You mentioned it a few moments ago, the first two rounds on the 18th hole. He uses a driver the first day, first round, and goes in the water, uses a 3-wood yesterday, and same result, but a little bit same result from the drive. The score a little different, double bogey on round one, and a sand-saving par round two.
Amazing second shot in round number two on Friday as he took a drop way back. He crossed the water way back, and then I'm sure everybody saw it as he hit it up in the greenside bunker and then knocked it out, almost hold it, or actually did hold it out of the bunker for a par. So great shot from John Rahm. He's at even par. Probably not going to win the tournament, but, you know, he's right there. And he's in Atlanta already, so we'll see what happens in the future there.
You know, you mentioned something, too. Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, they were not at that meeting. I think only 25 of the members showed up for that meeting. Rory, right now, feels a little funny about the PGA. Maybe exhausted might be the word I'm looking for.
You know, I'm focusing on my own business and trying to play the best golf that I can. And when I'm needed, I will be there. But, you know, I've, you know, consciously taken a bit of a step back from it all. Yeah, it's exhausting, especially with everything else that's going on and trying to play good golf and trying to live a somewhat normal life as well. So, yeah, look, whenever I'm needed and need to be called upon, I'm certainly going to be available, but for the most part, just trying to concentrate on myself.
So there you go, the thoughts of Rory McIlroy and why he did not show up for that meeting with Jay Monahan and other members of the PGA board. Doug, what do you take from that?
Well, Randy, what I take from that is Rory didn't really want to comment on why he didn't show up for the meeting. And he's about had it with Jay Monahan and the PGA Tour administration, and he is probably not going to be involved with them much anymore. Interesting comments from Rory. Of course, Hoagie during the week also saying that he doesn't even think that the deal between the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour is going to go through. So that certainly got to be on Rory's mind as well. And the future as far as Jay Monahan, Randy, it's got to be up in the air at best, because you can tell a lot of the players, and they're not showing up for that meeting Tuesday night, whenever it was. That's a pretty good signal that they're not too happy with the front office.
Well, you know, and you and I talked about it for just a little bit earlier in the week, and your thoughts, and I think I have to concur with your thoughts. I think it may be time for Jay Monahan to go, and I think maybe some of these folks are feeling the same way.
I think so. And it'll be, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the road. But you have a couple of guys like John Rahm. I'm trying to think who else I heard during the week, but maybe Scotty Scheffler, who are seem like they're kind of giving Jay Monahan a second chance and saying, well, he did a great job during COVID and he kept the tour going during COVID, maybe better than any other sport did. So they're kind of giving him credit for that. But I don't know. The deal between LIV and the PGA Tour with very little player input was very, very awkward. And I don't know if Jay Monahan can recover from that.
Well, I agree with you. I would agree with you completely on that, Doug. And I got to tell you, obviously, and you, again, you and I have talked about it. I know this is a lot of folks have talked about the same thing and the fact that if Phil Mickelson is not part of that LIV, they may have still continued with the LIV, but it's not going to be the same value. And maybe Jay Monahan and Phil should have had a little meeting earlier. But you know what we're going to do? Here's what we'll do. Let's save that for the next segment. Maybe we can talk about it because Rory had some thoughts on that as well. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. More Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show right after this. All right, and we certainly welcome you back to Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show right here on the Golf Broadcast Network. And we are motoring through this hour, as we told you we would. You need to buckle up, I'll tell you. It goes by so fast each and every Saturday, and we're so glad that you take time out of your busy Saturday to be with us. I am Randy Bergen, along with Sweet Swingin' Bobby Hall and Doug Holton. And, Bobby, I know yesterday, we got a lot to get into in this final segment, no doubt, but I know yesterday you had the opportunity to play with a group that we always play with. And whenever you have a bet with a certain, I'm going to say a certain group. I don't want to call out one individual, but the bet almost goes like this.
Hey, so Johnny, what's the match again today? I'm a little bit confused.
Oh, how many times do I have to tell you? It's literally so simple. We're playing a 20-20-40. That's a $20 front nine, $20 back nine, and a $40 overall. Two down auto presses with 50% of our handicap because Dan's a little bit of a sandbagger. We're also playing stroke play, last pace first, 20, $4.50 for all the junk. The junk's obviously birdies, greenies, sandies, skippies, blockies, junk mans, and eagles. What's so complicated?
Would you agree with that?
That does. Ironically, yes. That does sound like something that would go on at the first tee here at Quail Creek.
Which ironically, Doug, I think maybe happens sometimes on the PGA Tour. Would you agree with that?
I don't think there's any question that some of the practice rounds have a little monetary value there, Randy.
Well, and as you know, we've been talking a lot about Rory and what's been going on with the PGA board and Tiger coming on there, his thoughts on that. We talked about his putting a little bit earlier in the show. Of course, right now, we know that with this new book coming out on Phil Mickelson, and I think it actually comes out later this week, excuse me, later this month. It's called Gambler: Secrets from a Life of Risk. And this was from Billy Walters, who writes this about Phil Mickelson. We find out a lot of things. We find out that Phil Mickelson has bet supposedly over $1 billion. He's lost $100 million. But you know, Doug, we also heard that he might be betting on some things, almost a Pete Rose type deal.
Yeah, interesting comments from Rory McIlroy in Memphis this week after the first round when he was asked about the book. And he said, well, he won't have to worry about that this year, alluding to Phil Mickelson betting on the Ryder Cup. Phil Mickelson, by the way, says he didn't bet on the Ryder Cup. But, you know, Rory says he won't have to worry about it because he won't be playing this year.
I mean, at least he can bet on the Ryder Cup this year because he won't be a part of it. So
There you go.
There you go. That's, I tell you what, it's quite a battle between those two in media and social media these days.
You know, I wonder how long this has been going on. Did it start when LIV cranked up and they started talking about that and Phil got involved in that? Is that where this little fiasco started with Rory and Phil? Or has it been going on for a while, Bobby? What do you think?
I think Phil's been gambling since Arizona State days. You know, he just is that way. He was just hooked on betting. I mean, he admits that he has a gambling problem and that he's gotten help for it, so he states. But I think it's been going on for a long time. You know, that's just the way he is. That's just his personality. He just, he likes to have something to play for. And we all like a little side bet. He just carried it to the extreme.
I would say extreme is probably a good word there. I was just thinking about that, guys. It says he gambled $1 billion on sports in the last three decades, and he lost $100 million. So that must mean Phil Mickelson is a pretty dang good gambler, right? Well, if he only lost $100 million.
You got to think.
He had $100 billion exposed, but how much did he win? How much did he actually lose? Who knows? He admits to it, so just kind of have to go with the flow.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, we were talking about that, Randy. We were talking about that in the previous segment, I think, about the beginning of Rory and Phil Mickelson and where that got all off track. And again, we go back to the original relationship problems with Jay Monahan and Phil Mickelson, I think, at the beginning of the of LIV Golf. And again, I think if Jay Monahan handles that a little bit better with Phil and maybe compromises a little bit and says, Phil, maybe you're right about this and maybe we can do this, I don't think we have LIV Golf like we see it today.
Yeah, and I agree with you right there, Doug. I really do. And I believe that if those two would have met, maybe Tiger's in there, maybe there's some other folks in that meeting with them. Because it seems as if Phil has completely, I mean, just completely disbanded the PGA in his mind. He no longer, I mean, it is worthless. It's no good. And yes, it has faults, but I'm sitting here looking at something right now. Whenever he played on a Ryder Cup years ago for USA, and that the joy that seems to be on his face certainly is not there now.
No, it's not. And if you read the article with he and Sergio this week, mm-hmm. they say they don't want to come back to the PGA Tour, and they think the LIV Tour is going to continue along. So there is definitely bad blood still there with the PGA Tour and the representative that's testifying before Congress this week. I mean, Phil is still saying that the PGA Tour is not giving the players what they deserve, and that the front office, the administrative guys, are making too much money. And I think that was his beef, one of his beefs to start with.
Bobby?
Well, I get mixed signals from Monahan. The bunch of guys jump on the bandwagon about how bad Monahan is, and then they come out of the meeting, and a few of them said, well, he's a good businessman, and what he said had to make sense. And there weren't many guys that went to the meeting, from what I understand, from what I read online. But evidently, he still holds some weight. And there's still some things to figure out. And if a lot of guys don't go to the meeting and they were all upset about it, why didn't they go? I don't understand that part of it either. And, I know Lucas Glover has been firing some things back, and he won this past week, and he's playing well this weekend. But I know I'm getting mixed signals, and I'm just not sure what to do or how I feel about it. With Monahan, everybody's ready to throw him under the bus. And then after that meeting, I mean, even Ricky Fowler said, well, he made some good business sense in the meeting. So maybe there's a little more to come that we need to wait and be patient about.
Well, that's certainly very interesting. I don't think there's a question, and we don't know where does it end. Will we continue to see LIV play like they're playing? Will there be that merger? Sounds like there's not going to be one. So, I don't know. I think golf is in a very funny place right now. It is in a very, very funny place.
Exactly. I agree. It is in a funny place. So, let's just see what happens over the next few weeks. Let's concentrate on the FedEx Cup, see what comes out from Zach Johnson on the Ryder Cup. And, that's still interesting. That's still up in the air. What's going to happen there? And we were making a joke a little while ago. Let's put Phil on the Ryder Cup team and pair him against Rory McIlroy. That would be hilarious. Well,
which brings up another little topic right there. We know that Ricky Fowler – right now finishes his second round. He's at +4. There is no cut, and I was going to try to find out where he is projected right now on the FedEx Cup. Probably will not make it to the top 50. Certainly the top 30 he's going to have to work hard for. But, Doug, does that open up the door possibly for JT to enter if Ricky doesn't make it?
Well, you know, like Bobby mentioned, Zach and all those guys are watching what's going on. I think Ricky will make it to the 50. I think he was pretty high coming into the week.
Projected at 13 right now.
Yeah, but will he make it to Atlanta? That's probably up in the air a little bit. But he shoots plus four today and struggles into the house on 18. So, you know, everything counts when you're moving toward the Ryder Cup, and you got to play under pressure and see what happens. Ricky has had a great year this year and finished in the top 10 a lot. Finally won one late in the year. But, you know, Justin Thomas has a great record in the Ryder Cup, and Tony Finau is out there. So we'll just have to see how they play, I think, the next couple of weeks.
Guys, we've got about a minute and a half left here. Let me just tell you right now, on the bubble after round two, you see at number 47, or excuse me, at 48 is Nick Hardy. Cameron Young is 49. Thomas Dietrich is right there on that bubble at 50. Harris English is 51. Patrick Rogers, 52. And Alex Smalley is 53. Who will advance to Olympia Fields outside of Chicago? It'll be interesting. Of course, we know that Patrick Cantlay, the defending champion there, they will drop to the top 50. And, you know, I got to ask you, Bobby, when you look at it, who do you see wins this at Eastlake?
Oh, in the overall?
Overall.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's just really hard to answer. I got to have a plug for Rory. I think Scheffler's in there, and John Rahm.
All right.
That's my three favorites. I'm kind of holding back, like they said, and not trying to jump the gun and get too far ahead, but they want to be in the finals.
Sure.
So I think those three are.
Gotcha. I agree with you. I agree with you. Real quick, Doug, who do you see?
Well, those are three strong picks that Bobby made, and I think the only question out there is Lucas Glover, champion at Greensboro, leading in Memphis, swinging very well. Looks like he's on a hot streak. Maybe it's March Madness. Maybe he's the hot guy out there. Maybe he can take this all the way to East Lake in Atlanta.
It'll certainly be fun. I'm going to root for Rory on this. And real quick, the AIG Women's Open right now, the young lady from Mississippi State, Allie Hewing, she has a 5-stroke lead at 10 under. Guys, that's going to wrap it up for us. I want to thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Doug. And Steve Stanley for pushing all the buttons. We will see you next week right here on Southern Fairways Golf Radio Show. I'm Randy Bergen. Bye-bye, everybody.